I want to talk to you today about go. Everybody say go. And I heard Neil say GoPro. I think we want to go pro. We want to be professional. We want to be the best that we can be as Christ followers, as Christians, as believers. I think it's important we have a game, a game plan, right? A plan for the game. Or a plan for where you and I are at right now in 2021. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about heaven. Oh, I enjoyed that. And then the next weekend, I gave you hell. I mean, we talked about hell. And I didn't enjoy that. Amen. But then last weekend, we talked about, okay, if there's a heaven and there is, if there's a hell and there is, then what should we be doing as Christians or Christ followers? We shouldn't be walking in fear. We shouldn't be intimidated, cowering down, or compromising to the culture. We shouldn't give up. We shouldn't retreat. We should stand up and stand tall and be who God called us to be in this hour. Amen, everybody? So, well, what should I be doing as a Christian? Well, we should be following the call, the clarion call that God has given to every believer. And that is to be a disciple and to make one. To be a disciple and to make one. Pastor, that doesn't trip my trigger. I'm sitting here at home today. I'm with my watch party or small group, and I need to hear something that's going to help me. Well, if you'll stay with me, I promise you this will help you. Because when we seek His kingdom and His kingdom first, then every need you have in your family or your health or your finances or your job or career or business, God said He would meet it. Amen. So when we get our life right, everything becomes right. When we get our priorities in order, then confusion leaves our life. So I'm basically talking about priority. I'm basically talking about what is the most important thing. You know, winners don't get everything done. Winners don't get everything done. But winners get the most important things done. And this is the most important thing, that we go. Say, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, we started last Sunday. And if you weren't with us, you can go to our website. You can look at our podcast. You can find out the foundation that we laid. So we're going to kind of just review quickly and then go into what I have for you today. Sound okay? A good communicator tells you what they're going to talk about. Then they talk about it. Then they remind you what they talked about. You ready to go on this journey with me today? We talked last week about the sweet spot. We talked about Mark McGuire when he hit a ball, had a sweet spot on the bat. Those of you who play tennis, there's a sweet spot on the racket. You know, there's that sweet spot. There's that sweet spot for you that are golfers. Well, the sweet spot in Christianity is discipleship. The sweet spot in Christianity is discipleship. What does that mean? If I'm not a disciple and I'm not making a disciple, then I'm not enjoying what God has for me, the abundant life, the best life, of overcoming life. I need to know what's the missing ingredient. Because you and I both know there are a lot of Christians that are miserable, they're defeated, they've lost their victory, they're confused, they're giving up. Why is that? Because they have that missing link. They haven't found it yet. I'm talking about that today. Last week and today, it's called discipleship. So if you're a note taker, what is a disciple? I gave you the why. Now let me give you the what. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a pupil. And here's what I know. You and I, in order to make it through the battle we're in today, we have to become a student. That's huge. That is huge. For you and I, whatever crisis, whatever battle, whatever season you're in, whatever trouble you're going through, to get through it, we have to become a lifelong learner. We have to become a pupil and a student. As long as we're growing, we're going to be going through it, and we're going to come out of it on the other side better and bigger for Christ. But if I stop learning, if I feel sorry for myself, if I get into self-pity or blame or excuse or a victim mentality, then I won't make it to the other side. I won't come out bigger and better. I'll come out bitter. Does that make sense to everybody? So as long as you and I stay a student, everyone say a student, then God will keep showing us what we're missing, what we need to be doing, He'll give us a strategy. He'll give us the answer. He'll give us a solution for the victory, for the trouble that we're going through today. So a disciple is a student. A disciple is a pupil. A disciple is a lifelong learner. We're going to look at a quote in just a moment, but salvation is free. Aren't you glad it's free today? But discipleship, it'll cost you and me everything. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost us every single thing. But discipleship is the sweet spot. Discipleship is when you really have the joy of the Lord. Discipleship is when you know your purpose and you know the path and you're walking in it. Amen. So let's look at it, going to the board over here, and we're looking at part two of Go. C.S. Lewis said, all who are called to salvation are called to discipleship, and there's no exceptions. All who are called to salvation are then called to discipleship, no exceptions. I forgot already, what is a disciple? A student, a pupil, a lifelong learner. What does that look like, Pastor? Well, if I'm a disciple or a follower of Christ, then I'm constantly learning, and then I'm doing, and then I'm teaching. I like it. I'm constantly learning. See, if I'm not rowing the boat, I'm rocking the boat. So I need to be growing. Growing people are rowing the boat. They're going somewhere. People who aren't growing are rocking the boat. So you and I, we want to keep rowing the boat. We don't want to rock the boat. So a disciple is somebody who's constantly learning, key word, learning. Secondly, and then they're applying or doing, key word, doing. And then number three, what are they doing? They're teaching, key word, teaching. They're teaching other people. My question to you is, who are you investing in? Who are you discipling? Who are you pouring into? Who are you helping to become established and founded and grounded on the Word of God? All of us are called to be a disciple, and we're called to make a disciple. It's so important that we are one and we're making one, that we're pouring into other people. We're investing in other people. We're helping them. In fact, I think it's this way, that the goal of discipleship, I told you the why I'm teaching on it. Then I told you what one looks like. And now I'll give you the objective. The goal of a disciple is to grow into the image of Christ. The goal of a disciple is growth, but what kind of growth? To grow into the image and likeness of Christ. I think that's where we got the word Christian, and Christian means little Christ. When people see you and me, they should see Jesus. You and I have been called to be living epistles. We are living letters. Amen, everybody. What a privilege, what a joy, what a responsibility. I believe you and I are that last day generation. I believe you and I have got to seize the opportunity. I believe you and I have got to be growing, keep growing, and helping others to grow. Then we find purpose. Then we find meaning. I think it's called leadership. I think it's called legacy and making a difference. So let me go back to the board over here. Let's go to the next slide. The sweet spot in the Christian life is being discipled and discipling someone else. Matthew 28, verse 18, here is where we get the text. This is called the Great Commission. Can you say that with me? The Great Commission. Wow. God's called you and I to a great life. God's called you and I to greatness. What is that? It's go. Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Next verse. So then, what's the first word there? Go. That's where I got the title, Go. And I like what Neil said this morning, GoPro. It's time for us to be professionals. It's time for us to develop. What does that mean, Pastor? Develop the skill. Develop the skill. Every day get better at being a Christian. Every day get better at growing, learning, and teaching. Go, he said, not set and soak and sour. He said, go and make what? Disciples. This is the last words of Christ. The last words of anybody usually is the most important words of that buddy. So go then and make disciples. This is a commandment. This has clarity. This explains to me what I should be doing, not getting religious and stale and old and stiff and hard, unwilling to change and dogmatic and religious. No, I'm to go and make disciples. Look at this, of all nations, not just one nation, but all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son. You see the Trinity there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Next verse, teaching them. What are we supposed to do? Go make disciples, teaching them. So what is a disciple? A student, a pupil, a lifelong learner. That's why I love you all so much, because you love to learn. You're healthy spiritually because you have a spiritual appetite. You can't get enough of the word. Teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. What would that be? The word. The word. Not our philosophy. Not even our opinions. Oh, I'm going to. Not to teach them our philosophy or our opinions, but we're to teach them the word of the living God. So it's not what does the media say, it's what does the word say. It's not what does my aunt or uncle or neighbor or the host of the show say, it's what does the word say. We're not to teach them our own preferences of different parties, different tribes, and different clubs. We're to teach them what Jesus taught them, the word of God. So how we respond today to everything is, what does the word say? This is what the doctor said, thank God. This is what the lawyer said. This is what the judge said, okay. But what does the word say? I like what Pastor Kim said in her exhortation today. Our best days are ahead. It's not over until God says it's over. You know how I know when it's over? When you put your hand in front of your face and you don't feel anything. Now, I know y'all got masks on right now, some of you, but if you had your mask off, you put your hand up there, as long as you feel something, it ain't over. You're still breathing. As long as you're breathing, God has a destiny, God has a purpose, and God ain't, aren't, isn't through with you. Come on, let's celebrate God's goodness on our life today. So Jesus said, go. And I'm to teach you what he said. If I'm a good pastor, he said, go and make a disciple. Well, I can't make one till I am one. I can't reproduce something I'm not. Oh, that was powerful, Holy Spirit. I can't reproduce something I'm not. So I've got to work on being a disciple so I can make a disciple. Teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you all the days. Thank God he's with us every day of COVID. All the days. And behold, I am with you all the days. One translation said, lo. Remember I said, you can't get the lo unless you're on the go. And what is the lo? The anointing. What is the lo? It's the anointing. It's the grace of God, the power of God, the favor of God. Teach them. And lo, I am with you every day, perpetually, and on every occasion. Oh, I like that for the request for the meeting this Friday, the prayer request. They wanted favor for get that building for that home for homeless mothers. Aren't you glad he said he'd be with you on Friday? On the doctor's appointment this week, the court case this week, the interview this week, talking to the principal this week, whatever it might be. God said, I'll be with you on every occasion and very close. Oh, I like it. I like it. I'm getting high on the word. And very close until the end of the age. Amen. So let it be. Amen means let it be. When we say amen, we're saying I'm in agreement with that. Amen, everybody. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all are so awesome. All right, so a disciple, we're going to kind of go through this quickly because we did it last week. But a disciple, they put God first. They put God first. And then we read in Luke 14 how Jesus said, you've got to hate your mother and your father and your children. that if you don't hate them, you cannot be his disciple. Well, somebody might say right there, well, I don't want to follow somebody who wants me to hate my family. That's not what he's saying. It's a metaphor. It's symbolic. Because if you study the Bible, there's in other parts of the Bible, he says, love one another. Honor your parents, right? Don't belittle your children. Don't make them bitter. All through the Bible, it talks about how we're to love our parents, honor our parents, love our husband, love our wife. So it's not contradictory. It's a metaphor. It's symbolic. What is he saying? He has to come before your children. And y'all know I'm a family dude, all right? But he has to come before your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fiance. He's got to come before anybody else. So a disciple, a real disciple, and that's a sweet spot. Could it be why some aren't in the sweet spot? Because they haven't done this. They haven't put God first. So we elaborated on that last weekend. We'll move along here. Number two, they take up their cross and they follow him. They take up their cross and they follow him. Luke 14, 27, and you and I are whosoever, right? And whosoever does not bear their cross cannot come after me, and they cannot be my disciple. We said that the first century of the Christian church was not the symbol of a cross. It was a symbol of a fish. Remember? It wasn't a cross. For back then, during that time, the cross spoke of death and the curse. Romans were killing Christians like crazy on the cross. They were crucifying them. The Romans were crucifying Christians. So the first century, to let somebody know you were a Christian, it wasn't a cross you were wearing. You had the symbol of a fish. Of a fish. What does that mean? Pick up your cross daily, one translation says. So every day, we got to pick up our cross. Well, I've taught you that Scripture interprets Scripture. Y'all still with me? Scripture interprets Scripture. So he said, you cannot be his disciple unless you deny yourself daily, the King James says, and pick up your cross. What is your cross? You know, I know of a gentleman years ago that he traveled all over the world carrying a cross. You know, that was cool. I understand what he was doing that for, to get attention, and he won a lot of people to the Lord. I get that. But Jesus actually isn't saying for us to pick up a physical cross. What is he saying? He's saying your cross is denying yourself every day. What is he saying? You can't do what other people are doing. You have to deny yourself, and you can't do what the crowd or the culture or compromising Christians are doing if you're going to be his disciple. He's a jealous God, and he won't let us have two or three dates, two or three different people, right? It's him and him alone. So we looked at that last week. You can go back. It's free, last weekend's teaching. Number three, you surrender everything you are and everything you have. It's not only sacrifice, but to be a disciple, I have to surrender. I have to surrender everything I am and everything I have to him. Actually, it belongs to him anyway, right? Actually, we're not an owner. Now, here's the mindset of a disciple. I don't own anything. I'm just a steward. The house, the car, the dog, the cat, the hamster, the fishing pole, the shotgun, the golf club, it really isn't ours. It belongs to God. Everything we have is a gift from God. So it's not ownership. It's stewardship, right? So surrender everything you are and everything you have to be a disciple. Now remember, this is the sweet spot. This is where Christianity gets exciting. This is where being a Christian, you begin to really make a difference and you begin to impact your culture. I want to impact the culture. Thank you for four amens. Hallelujah. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh what? Not all that he has, you cannot be my disciple. So what do we have to do? He's got to be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. I can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And here's what I know. There's a whole lot of shaking, to quote Chuck Berry. There's a whole lot of shaking going on, right? There's a whole lot of shaking going on. And here's what I see. As a pastor for over 40 years, as a Christian for a long time, here's what I see. What's going to happen out of COVID is people are going to be all the way in, or they're going to be all the way out. Yeah, after this season that the church is going through and our culture is going through, they're going to be all in, or they're going to be all out. And Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to be my follower, if you're going to impact the culture, if you're going to make a difference, if your life, you want to have abundant life, a victorious life, leave a legacy, leave a mark, he said, you got to forsake all that you are and all that you have to be my disciple. Number four, they impact their culture. Disciples impact their culture. It's not until things start changing around us, you know, impacting the culture, then we know we have real revival and an awakening. Then we know that we're following the course and the call God has for our life. Not letting the culture impact us, but we are impacting the culture. Right, everybody? Where's that? What's that all about, Pastor? It's all about being salt. Aren't we to be the salt of the world? Is that right? Some of you are looking at me really funny. Let me show you what I mean. All right. Luke 14, 34. Salt is good. Salt is good. And it is good, right? A Christian without salt is like watermelon without salt. A Christian who's lost their salt, in other words, their impact, who's lost their devotion and dedication and consecration and commitment to follow Christ. A Christian who's no longer salt is like decaffeinated coffee. Am I hitting anybody home? A Christian who's lost their salt. Some of you won't get this, but some of you who are really anointed, you'll get this one. A Christian who's lost their salt. In other words, they've lost their drive, their commitment, their fellowship, their desire to be a follower and a disciple and making disciples is like having Coke without salt in it. See, I knew that'd go over like that. Oh, yeah, you ever put a little bit of salt in Coke and it foams up and it's ice cold and it's got ice in it? Ooh, it's not good for you, but it's awesome, all right? So salt is good. But if salt has lost its savior, wherewith shall it be seasoned? So what does salt do? Several things that salt does. It's important that we understand. Salt, you can study salt, but salt is valuable, right? It's valuable. It's seasoning. It's valuable. Way back, didn't they preserve meat with salt before refrigeration? So you're valuable. You're needed. This community needs us. The nations need us through our online campus now all over the world. And we love y'all big time. You heard the couple who became a part of Church of the Rock went growth track in Puerto Rico. And then they move all the way up here to come to Church on the Rock and make it their church home. That's awesome. So salt is valuable, right? We're to be salt of the world. A disciple is called to be the salt of the world. Letter B, salt makes a difference. Like I said, watermelon without salt. I prefer salt on my watermelon. It makes a difference, right? Caffeine and coffee. Some of you need that coffee truck out there. Praise the Lord. We got waiting for you. Amen. And what does it do? It protects, salt protects, or it stops evil. You and I are called to impact our culture. We are called, we're valuable, we're needed, we can make a difference, we can stop evil and release the righteousness of God in our community and make a difference. Amen. There are people out there today that only you can reach. There are people out there today that only you can connect with. They'll only listen to your story and your testimony. Can I have an amen, somebody? And so how important is our witness? How important is us being salt every day and making other people thirsty? Watch the video with me. You ever heard of Steve McQueen? Okay, let's watch this. Real disciples like that movie. Amen. Real disciples of Christ. Love that movie. Bullet. That's the most famous car race scene in history. All right. Steve McQueen. Why would you show that, Pastor? Because Steve McQueen today is in heaven. Steve McQueen gave his life to Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how'd that happen? How did that happen? Well, Steve McQueen not only collected old motorcycles and cars, he collected antique airplanes. True story. And he had bought this antique airplane, and he didn't know how to fly it. So he rented out a hangar at a smaller airport out there in the Los Angeles area. And then he looked around to try to find somebody who knew how to fly that antique plane, because he wanted to be learn and be trained and taught how to fly it himself. So he called around, he checked around, finally found this one garage and called. He heard that this gentleman knew how to fly that plane and could train him and equip him, prepare him to fly it. So as the story goes, a true story told by his wife is that he called there, and the guy's name was Sammy. True story. His name was Sammy, and Steve McQueen said, "Hey, I'm Steve McQueen. I got this plane. I heard that you know how to fly it. Would you give me lessons?" And Sammy said, "No way. No." Steve McQueen said, "Don't you know who I am? I mean, I'm the guy who has it. I am the rock star. I am, at that time, the most paid movie star in the world." He said, "Don't you know who I am?" And Sammy said, "No." And he goes, "I'm Steve McQueen. Won't you give me lessons?" And Sammy said, "No," and hung up on him. So later that day, see, he got his attention, didn't he? God used that. So later that day, he had his son, Sammy, his son worked for him. And Sammy said, "Hey, there was this crazy guy called me today, wanted lessons." "Well, who was that, Dad?" "Steve McQueen." "What? What did you do?" "I told him no." "Dad, you can't do that. Dad, you got to call him back and you got to give him lessons." True story. Being salt. We're called to be salt, to make a difference and impact our culture. Whoa. So he called him back, started giving him lessons, teaching him how to fly that antique airplane. Over a period of time, Sammy didn't preach to him. Sammy went to a Calvary church out there in the Los Angeles area. He was a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. But as the story goes, he never preached to him. He never gave him a sermon. He didn't even invite him to church, but he just lived the life. And one day, Steve McQueen said, "Sammy, tell me, I've noticed that you have more peace on your life than anybody else I know. I don't have that peace, and I want it. How do I get it?" Sammy led Steve McQueen to Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, somebody. Whoa. So notice that would, I would say, impact the culture a little bit, wouldn't you? So as a disciple, we're called to be salt. And then number five, a disciple is called to bring forth fruit. I told you why I'm teaching on discipleship. I told you what they look like. Now I'm sharing with you the characteristics, and we'll be known by our fruit, right? So look at this, John 15, verse 8. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." A disciple bears not just fruit, but much fruit. This is the sweet spot, y'all. A disciple bears much fruit. So ye shall be my disciples. I'm to be one, I'm to make one. You and I, we're students, we're pupils, we're lifelong learners. We're learning, we're doing, and we're teaching. We're mentoring, we're coaching. We hear a lot about life coaches. Well, you all been called to be a life coach to somebody. Amen. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear not just fruit," but what does that word say? "Much fruit. And then you shall be my disciples." As the team comes out, what does that look like? What does the fruit look like? Well, the fruit of repentance. What kind of fruit are we to produce as a disciple? The fruit of repentance. And what is that? Galatians 5, verse 24. "Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature," fruit of repentance. You see, that fruit is talking about our conduct has changed. Our conversation has changed, and our company has changed. If I'm really born again, if I've really been born again, if I'm a disciple, if I'm a follower, if I'm going after Christ, then some of the fruit will be the fruit of repentance. I've changed. That my character has changed, my conversation, the way I talk has changed, and the company I keep has changed. Those who belong to Christ, it says they've crucified the godless human nature with its passion, its appetites, and its desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward. I'm all for going forward. Everything God has for you and me is in front of us. Going forward, walking in line with our conduct controlled by the Holy Spirit. I love it, don't you? And then Colossians 1:10, we're going to jump ahead for time. What is this fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. Not only the fruit of repentance, if I'm born again, I should be changing how I talk, how I walk, and who I run with. If I'm really born again, now salvation's free, but discipleship's going to cost me everything. But a disciple, that's what I want to be. That's what I want all of us to be at Church on the Rock, and making disciples. That's our goal. The fruit of the Spirit, and it's listed in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. Number three, the fruit of our lips. If I'm a disciple, then I should change the way I talk. My conversation has changed. And the fruit of my lips, what should it be? Giving praise unto God. Giving praise unto God. That's called fruit. And we are to, as disciples, bear much fruit. Fruit of repentance, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of our lips. Through Him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times, even on this Sunday, offer up to God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips. Wednesday night, I'm starting a new series called The Praise Cure. The Praise Cure. Here's what I know. Praise will cure what ails you. Oh, I like it. Through Him, therefore, let us constantly, everybody say constantly, and at all times offer up to God the sacrifice. We don't feel like it. We deny ourselves. We pick up our cross of praise, which is the fruit of lips that we thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify God's name. How cool is that, everybody?
Thanks for watching this week's message. Here at Church on the Rock, our purpose is to help you know God better. And one of those ways is through Growth Track. We have a 4-step process online that you can take anytime, or maybe consider joining us in person. But to take your next step and to find out all the incredible things we have to offer here at Church on the Rock, I encourage you to go over to cotr.org/online, or you can email us at online@cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.